On this episode of the Ordinary Faith Podcast, I talk with Dave Willis about wisdom and vulnerability. Well, hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Ordinary Faith Podcast. My name is Dan Jackson. I'm a writer, I'm a pastor, and I'm the host of this podcast here where we get to talk about what it means to pursue a life of ordinary faith in God's extraordinary grace. My guest today is my friend Dave Willis. Dave is a pastor, he's a writer, he's a podcaster, and really he's just a ministry leader who, between he and his wife Ashley, their marriage ministry has just impacted thousands of marriages in a really, really positive way. They host the Naked Marriage Podcast. They've written a number of books, both individually and together, really just helping encourage and challenge people to pursue a life after Jesus and pursue a marriage that honors God and honors one another. And so I'm really thrilled to have Dave join us here today. Before we get into that conversation, I just want to, again, take a moment to say thank you, especially to all of you who share these episodes after you listen. I continue to hear on a regular basis from so many of you who are encouraged by the things we're talking about on this podcast. In fact, just this past week, I had somebody reach out to me and say they're just really impressed and encouraged by the breadth of topics that we get to discuss here, things regarding race, things regarding sexuality, things regarding just simple obedience and more liturgy and deep spiritual topics that are all encouraged to help us pursue that life of ordinary faith, chasing after God. And so I'm just thrilled. I'm so glad to be a part of this journey with you. I'm always interested to hear what's on your heart, what's on your mind, how these episodes are encouraging you. So continue to reach out to me and give me the feedback. You can always find me at my website, danieljackson.us, and all my social links are there and my email. So feel free to reach out and kind of just say, hey, would love to connect with you in that way. And of course, as always, I just want to say a huge thank you to the patrons, those of you who financially support the show on the Patreon platform. For as little as $1 a month, you can become a patron to help keep this show going, to help spread the word, to help help me keep this going. I love doing this. I love having these conversations, and I love the ability to share these conversations with all of you listeners for free. And so for those of you who have just really been encouraged by these episodes over the years, over the past four seasons, man, it means just a ton for you to say, hey, I enjoy this, I'm encouraged by this, and I believe in it enough to jump on that Patreon page for even, again, as little as a dollar a month, you can join and be a supporter in that. So I'm just so grateful for those of you who have been patrons in the past and for those of you who are just jumping on as brand new patrons. So if you're interested in learning more about how you can be a part of this ministry with me on the Patreon platform, you can just head over to patreon.com/ordinaryfaith. And that link is also on the show notes as well. So again, patrons, I love you. Thank you. As I mentioned, my guest today is Dave Willis. Dave is a pastor, he's a writer, and really he's become one of America's most trusted voices on issues related to marriage, faith, and family. Dave and his wife Ashley, they're part of a team at XO Marriage, which is just one of the leading marriage ministries in this nation. So Dave and Ashley have tons of videos and articles and books and resources and blogs and live events. They literally reach millions of couples worldwide just with their encouragement and with their resources for building healthier marriages. Dave and his wife and their four kids live in Georgia. And man, I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation. Dave's an incredible guy, just so faithful. I'm excited for you to hear his story, just of kind of how he and his wife stepped into this ministry that they have, how they try to serve the church, and specifically how they try to serve marriages, and what they're learning along the way. And I think there's just so much encouragement for us in that. So here is my conversation with my friend, Dave Willis. Well, I'm here today with Dave Willis. Dave, thank you so much for joining us on the Ordinary Faith Podcast.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you and I have run in the same circles for a little bit. I mean, you much longer than I, being from this Georgetown, Kentucky area. But we actually only met face-to-face for the first time a couple months ago, and I thought you were a spitting image of your brother. But tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of who you are, where you're from, and just give us the quick overview.
Yeah, well, when God was making my family, my brothers, he was like, I want two of them that are really big and athletic, and then I'm going to make one that looks the same, but is much smaller and less good at sports. And so that's kind of, I think, what happened. Yeah. There's people meet me after meeting my brothers, and they're like, you look the same, but we're like different sizes.
There's something off. Yeah.
Yeah. Same head on very different bodies. But yeah, I grew up in Georgetown, Kentucky, the city that never sleeps.
That's right. The metropolis of Georgetown.
You know, we moved there actually when I was in third grade. My dad took a job at the Toyota plant there and had been there, you know, for the next 20 years. So it's home for me. Met my wife, Ashley. She's a Lexington girl. So we're both from central Kentucky. And then we ended up, after we got married, bouncing around to a few ministry opportunities, and mostly in Georgia. We landed in Augusta, Georgia, and that's where we've been raising our family. And I was a pastor of a church there for many years. And then in the midst of that, Ashley and I started a marriage ministry around 8 or 9 years ago, just small, organic, unorganized. But God kind of took hold of that and started opening doors with that, just because of all the need there is out there with folks needing encouragement for their marriages. Hmm. And we never really set out to do this, but we've just kind of walked through the doors he's opened. And now, for the last several years, have been doing marriage ministry full time as part of a ministry based in Texas called XO Marriage. And so we're loving that, getting to help couples full time and getting to work together is a joy. And, that's kind of us in a nutshell. We got four little boys from 6 to almost 16 years old. So never a dull moment around our house.
Yeah. Four boys. That's a lot of energy.
Yes, that is a lot.
Not that girls don't have energy either, but four boys, I can only imagine. A lot of food.
A lot of food. Costco, like, we spend a ridiculous amount of time at Costco. So it's just, those boys can eat.
Yeah, it's funny. My eldest son is 17, and so I just chuckle. He's got these rhythms of, you know, it feels like every 30 minutes, every 30 or 40 minutes, he comes up from his room and his kind of basement set up, and you hear him tinkering around in the fridge or the pantry trying to find something to snack on. Yeah, they certainly can eat for sure. So you and your wife now for a number of years, kind of, like you said, have been involved in kind of leading this marriage ministry. What's that like? Because so for example, my wife and I just started a home improvement project over the summer to renovate, kind of redo our basement. We lasted a couple days, and then it was less something we did together and more something we kind of just tried to complete on our own and pointed to each other and tried not to get in each other's way. So what's it like kind of working full time in ministry side by side with your spouse?
Well, you know, it's a joy, but you know, it can also be a challenge to do everything fully in sync together. So really it keeps us in check with what we're doing to try to help other couples, because even in the marriage ministry space, there really aren't that many couples doing it together. You'll see like a guy that's teaching about marriage, or maybe it's the wife who's kind of really teaching about marriage. And even when they speak together, it's kind of clear that one of them is just sort of there as a visual aid mostly. It's like it's the other one's thing. But you know, we really set out to say, let's do this together, like really as partners, and let's kind of model that through the work we're doing as we're trying to reach couples, for both of us to have an equal voice. And it is fun. And I think that we have a really unique personality blend where that's possible. It's not because we're somehow like way better at being married or something. It's just God kind of wired us up with very similar giftings and very similar personalities. And that makes it work in a way where I think a lot of other couples who like love Jesus and love each other and are great, great couples would have a much harder time doing it. Not that it's easy for us per se. We just had a head start kind of because of some of that wiring, but even still, it's a rhythm. It's taken years for us to learn, like speaking together and not talking over each other and making sure that there's, you know, an equal rhythm and kind of figuring out, like, you know, Ashley's, and she has to do this for me too, but like when she says we need to do something, trying to decipher like if it means like we need to do it or if she's gently telling me that I need to do something. Right. Like earlier on in our marriage, when she would say, oh, we need to mow the yard. And I would like try to picture us like both holding the lawnmower. And then I'm like, oh, she means I need to mow the yard. And she's just being right. sweet about it. It's been fun. You know, I think it's brought us closer together and hopefully it's helping some other couples too.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it has. I mean, your ministry is vibrant and you just kind of along those same lines, just of the two of you being together and you've been a pastor, like you mentioned, you pastored a church for a number of years and you know, there's a certain aspect of life. I believe if we're pastoring well, where in a sense you're kind of in a fishbowl where your congregation and in some cases your community are looking at you and to you. And there's effective ministry, effective shepherding happens in a lot of ways through transparency and through authenticity. And so there's that sense in which pastors are oftentimes kind of feel like in a fishbowl, everybody can see and criticize a lot of your life. So the two of you with your ministry, there's got to be that sense where you feel like you're in a fishbowl and you're deliberately making that choice to kind of put your relationship, your marriage, your life on display to help show others, kind of lead the way in that. Is there a sense that you carry a pressure with that of like, hey, we really can't screw this up because a lot of people are looking to us? Because I know as a pastor, I often, that was one of my biggest fears when I knew I was called to ministry. It was that gut-wrenching fear of, oh, God, I don't want to screw this up because if I'm going to start being a pastor, that means that there's a responsibility to lead well and kind of that weight carrying that. Do you all feel that as sort of a pressure and a weight to your ministry and your marriage and how that carries forward?
Well, we certainly feel like a responsibility that, you know, we obviously – everybody in your life, every human being on earth, other than Jesus is going to let you down at some point, you know, for putting hope in people other than the Lord. But I've also seen like firsthand the aftermath and how it can wreck people's faith and really, really hurt a lot of folks when people who are in public ministry fall into sin. You know, I started at my first ministry job. I was a youth pastor at a church in Central Kentucky and the two most visible leaders in the church, you know, our senior minister and our female worship pastor, worship leader, they both were married and they had an affair with one another. And when that came out, it was just, you know, the wreckage from that, the relational wreckage and the way that people's faith was wounded. You know, it really impacted me as just a young pastor and a young married guy trying to figure things out. These two people I'd really looked up to, that could, you know, fall and live in that kind of sin. And I mean, nobody is beyond falling into sin if we don't have accountability and guardrails around us. But I think that experience for Ashley and me living through that and kind of having a front row seat to the aftermath of that, it challenged us to say like, we've got to safeguard above all else, like, you know, other than our relationship with God, the second thing, we've got to safeguard our marriage. Because that's the very place the enemy would like to attack and try to discredit, you know, what he's doing, what God's doing around, you know, around the world. If he can come between us as husband and wife in that kind of way, he's gonna hurt the faith of a lot of people. And so we've been intentional about trying to safeguard that. And you know, for me, like as a guy that, you know, early on in my teenage years all the way into young adulthood, and this is kind of like a big part of our testimony we share now, I had a real struggle with pornography. And I try to be so vigilant about anything that could be a gateway for me to fall back into that, because I know things like that, things that are done in secret, you know, can be used to not only wreck your own life, but then, you know, the enemy can take that and broadcast it and hurt a lot of other people as well. So we just try to be mindful, but like, instead of trying to project any kind of image, like, I think what's been freeing for us and what's made it sustainable is that we just decided early on, we're going to be 100% honest about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like, we're not going to try to pretend that we've got it all figured out. You know, we're not going to try to be one way behind a microphone and some other way in our community. Like, we just want to figure out a way to do this and just be us, be the same people everywhere, at home and on a stage and wherever else. And just making that decision that we're going to be real and we're going to be honest, we're going to talk about our struggles, that's freed us up to make it feel sustainable. Because then it's like, the fishbowl is not a big deal because we're just trying to be the same everywhere.
Yeah.
Now that it's the tricky part of that is with our kids, because we want to protect our kids from feeling like they're on display.
Right.
And so finding that balance of where, you know, we share, you know, our own stuff and we share little glimpses of our family without making our kids ever feel like they've got to like perform or be on this, you know, social media reality TV show. They didn't sign up for any of that. So that's the only tricky part of it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate what you just said too. And I hope listeners are picking up on that too. Like, I mean, you're speaking, obviously the context of the question with regard to your ministry, but that idea of how important it is just to be authentic and to not feel like you're trying to put on a facade for people, that carries over to all of us, regardless of whether you're in ministry or leadership or you're just hanging out with your friends or attending your church. Like, it is exhausting to have to feel like you have to put on that facade. And I just chuckle because of how many times my wife and I driving to church, or even like if I'm going to go to preach in the morning and the whole house erupts and fights and arguments in the morning and I walk out the door and I'm going to get on stage and preach and act like everything's okay. And you know, how many families show up to church?
I've been so many times. You're like, you know, scream, you know, I'm, you know, you're screaming threats to the kids in the parking lot. And then you hop out of the car and it's, hey, God bless.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. Blessed to see you, brother. Like, yeah. And we all experience that. And so just the acknowledging that there is freedom that comes with authenticity, and that I think if we are honest with each other, with our people around us, with our church, with our, you know, if we can just be honest of, I don't have it all together. I never do. Like, I screw up and I know less. I'm wrong all the time. There's a lot of freedom in that. And if we're able to just have the confidence in Christ to be able to live and, you know, as called to lead out of that, there's a lot of freedom and a lot of power in that. And yeah, so I mean, I think that's just great advice. So have you ever, you know, have the two of you ever jumped on like, hey, it's time to record this podcast, or we've got this event coming up, where literally you just are coming from a really kind of tense, stressful moment in your relationship, and then you have to jump on and like have the two of you ever been in one of those moments where it's tense, but you know you got to do your thing?
Well, yeah, there've certainly been any kind of like mood imaginable we've had, like right before we've had to speak or do something, but it's kind of the rhythm of what we do. It's just kind of in sync with our regular life so much that, you know, that there are the kind of the big moments where, you know, that we've got a conference and we're going to be speaking live, but so much of what we do is we've got to jump on social media, or we've got to record a podcast, and it just kind of fits into the rhythm of life on the good days, the hard days, the stressful days, like all those kind of days. And so we just try to be honest with where we are. Like, mm-hmm. It's been a hard day today, and you know, we're dealing with this. And again, that's part of what's made it so freeing. And there've been times we've just had to kind of stop and pray, like, Lord, reset our mind and our heart. Cause you know, we want to be fully in tune with what you want to say through us in this moment, but also help us be honest. And you know, we've just found like the more that we've been honest and real about our own struggles, about our own inadequacies, about our own temptations, whatever it might be, instead of people feeling like, oh man, like they're all messed up, I don't want to listen to that, it's made folks lean in ways we weren't expecting, to say like, this is so refreshing, because you know, that so relates to what I'm going through. And I think sometimes in the church, I was raised in the church, love the church. The church is the hope of the world, and I'm in for life. But growing up, I didn't see as much authenticity. Now I did sometimes, but when I did, it really stood out. When I saw like a pastor or anybody in a place of kind of like, you know, speaking to a group of people, being really honest and transparent about what they were struggling with. That really resonated with me. Even as a kid, I remember that, because when I would see somebody that never talked about it, I just thought, oh man, I can't live up to that. They're perfect. And of course they weren't, but they felt the pressure to project perfection because they thought that's where their, you know, influence came from, is being, you know, as perfect as possible. But really our influence comes from pointing people to the only one who is perfect. That's Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
And then doing the best we can to let him live through us, and being really authentic about how we're struggling along the way. So Yeah, we've been, you know, painfully honest about struggles. Like our whole podcast is called the Naked Marriage Podcast, and that word naked is in a lot of what we do, and not just because it's a provocative word and naked makes you want to say what? I want to learn more about that. But that nakedness in scripture, it's a picture not only of, you know, physical intimacy, but it's a picture of saying I have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
You know, naked, I have absolutely nothing to hide because I want to, you know, I want to be real within marriage, and then I want that to extend to other parts of life. And so we're trying to do that. And we mess up even at that. There are certainly times where I'm tempted to hide things, hide flaws, and try to make myself seem cooler than I actually am. But whenever I'm willing to just say, this is what I'm struggling with today, and I feel like a bad husband today, and here's why, and or I blew it as a dad today. Like I just screamed at one of my kids, and now I'm, you know, doing a podcast about parenting, and there's freedom in that, just being able to be honest, I think.
Yeah. So what are some of the ways, I mean, obviously you get, I mean, your ministry, the podcast, your books and all that, and your conferences, like you're impacting and leading and encouraging so many people literally around the world just through that kind of vulnerability. What are some of the ways though that you've seen God kind of at work in your life, in your marriage, as a result of the obedience that you guys have had? Because that's, I mean, that's, it's a tall order to do what you're doing. It's not easy. And I don't think people really fully realize the faith and the courage it takes to continue to step out and trust that this is what God's calling you to. What are some of the ways that you've seen God really kind of come alongside you, or maybe work in your life, your heart, your marriage, that you've seen where you can look back and say, man, I'm so grateful that God has done this through, and he's been faithful to us through these opportunities to serve him.
Yeah, there've been a lot. I mean, I could go on for forever about that, but just like a couple high points. You know, I got diagnosed with a thyroid disorder about 5 years ago, the autoimmune disease that I just have to live with. And among other things, and among other ways that it impacted my body, is that my energy level was low, was just really low. And my hormones were off, and I was way out of whack. And so that was happening in the midst of where I felt like God was calling me to do more than I'd ever done. But now I was trying to figure out how to do it with less energy than I'd ever had. And even through that season, and now, like, even though to a certain extent, I'll just have to like live with that and try to find balance with it the rest of my life, I'm in a better place now in terms of just figuring out a rhythm. But the way that he carried us through that and made me realize that this isn't through our strength. This isn't something that can be accomplished through the flesh, but it's, you know, just being a willing vessel for him. Like, Lord, if you want to work through me, you know, like mind, body, hormones, like every part of me is just kind of messed up right now. then go ahead. And he did. And then I just stepped back and say, well, that obviously was God, because I didn't have any energy. Like, I felt like my mind, my brain was a fog kind of during that season, and my body was weak, and God continued to, you know, to minister. And I look back and just realize that it's been him all along. Even in the moments when I felt strong, it was really only him. In our own strength, we can't do anything. And he's not asking us to. Like, the message of the gospel isn't try harder. It's surrender more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we surrender to him and just say, Lord, do whatever you want, you know, in me, through me, he really does. And then a second kind of very different example of his faithfulness. You know, we relocated to Texas, where the ministry XO is based in the Dallas area. And we relocated there about 3 years ago, and felt like he was leading us there. And we got there, and it was good, like professionally in terms of the ministry. We, you know, we made great connections and bonded with the team and all that. But our kids just really struggled, and we were living in a great area, and you know, there were a lot of good things about the community, but we just weren't connecting. You know, we weren't connecting in church. We weren't connecting. Kids weren't connecting in school. And the couple years we were there, for the kids especially, it was hard, especially for our older boys who were, and when we first moved there, they were in eighth and sixth grade. And then we were, you know, it was a tough time to move. So we just prayed, Lord, like back in Georgia where they were born, where they've grown up, that's their hometown. like, if there's any way, if there's any way that we can make this work, because we feel called to this ministry that's in Texas, but we also feel called to let our kids have their hometown in Georgia. If there's any way to have both, let it happen. And for 2 years straight, like we kind of prayed that prayer while still at the same time trying to make Texas home and be trying to be all in there, and not kind of putting our hand to the plow and looking back, as the Bible would say, Lord, we're here, we want to be invested here, but if there's a way to have both, make it happen. And the door was just closed and closed. And then, you know, a few months into COVID, into the shutdowns, as we were doing so much remotely, you know, we really once kind of one more time made the pitch to say, we really think we can do this remotely, just traveling to Texas when we need to. And the leadership let us do it, which I know is a gift from God, because it was a door that was closed, bolted and locked for so long. And so now to be able to do the ministry we feel called to do, but to do it from the location where we feel called to be, when I didn't think we'd ever be able to have both those things, has been a gift. And even for our older boys, I think a time in their life they can point to of, you know, I prayed for something so big and God actually came through. And God's faithful whether he answers our prayers the way we want him to or not. Yeah. It's just one of those times they'll be able to look back on and say, God really answered a prayer in a big way that time.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I totally resonate with that because, you know, pastoral ministry doesn't always have a great record of, you know, people having longevity in one specific ministry. And that was probably my wife's biggest fear in when we stepped into full-time ministry, when I stepped into that as a pastor, was she just seen her experience growing up as a kid of family members who were in the ministry, like 3 years here, 4 years there, just constantly shifting. And she knew what that meant. And when we moved here into Georgetown, you know, a little while ago, 5 or 6 years ago now, she pleaded with me, like, I want to be here till our kids go through school. Like, I don't want to move. And even though, this past year I had a significant shift in my church and ministry, the Lord was so good just to provide an opportunity for our family to stay rooted and connected. And so I totally resonate with that. And it is the goodness of God to be able to maintain and plant relationships like that into a specific place. So, I mean, that's a lot about kind of the marriage ministry and you and your wife and what you've been called to. But I mean, you're a pastor. You love to encourage people. And you've also, you know, written and done things on the side, which by the way, we're going to link to all this in the show notes, your podcast and all the resources that you guys have. But you've also recently released a book on Proverbs called, is it Walk? Something.
Think Like Jesus.
Think Like Jesus. I was going to say Walk with Jesus, but I knew that wasn't right. Yeah, Think Like Jesus, just kind of looking at the Proverbs. So tell us a little bit just about that. I'm curious too, like, why Proverbs? If you're writing a Bible study, there's so many books of the Bible to choose from. Why hone in on Proverbs as a place to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I was a teenager and just kind of starting to really read the Bible and figure out how it applied to my life, someone challenged me, not even challenged me personally. I think it was in a sermon, you know, the pastor challenged us to read one chapter of Proverbs every day, because there are 31 chapters in it. They're all short. You know, you can read a chapter in Proverbs in a couple minutes. And he said, if you do that every day, in addition to whatever else you're reading in the Bible, then, you know, you'll read through the whole book of Proverbs once a month. And he said that it'll really shape your worldview and your thinking, because Proverbs is kind of, it's God's plan of wisdom for life in relationships and finances and health and work and in all parts of life, laid out in such practical ways. And it being so practical resonated with me, because at the time, especially, there were a lot of these kind of deeper theological concepts that I just couldn't really wrap my head around. But Proverbs just made sense. Like, it just made sense to my, you know, adolescent mind that, like, okay, if I do this, then it's wise. And if I do this, then it's foolish. And God wants me to be wise and not foolish. And so I've continued to go back to Proverbs, you know, ever since, you know, the last quarter century since I started that little discipline. So I probably spent more time in that one book of the Bible than any other. I mean, of course, I've read the whole Bible and love it. And it's all true. And it's all God's word. And it's all practical for living. But when I read through the Proverbs, I'm just like, man, I can use that today. I can use this one right now. And so I thought, you know, one day I want to write a devotional, just a simple devotional about some of those themes in Proverbs that have had such an impact in my life. And I didn't. It's a short devotional. It's 31 day, just like there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. But I just, yeah, I chose 31, you know, scripture passages from Proverbs that had really impacted me. And I share that scripture. And then I share just a few paragraphs of kind of reflection of what God's word is saying to us and how that can look in our everyday life, and put that out. Even though it's not a marriage book, it has some marriage principles in it, but XO Publishing, which does all of our, you know, marriage books as part of the ministry, they put it out, they believed in it as well. And so, Yeah, I'm excited about it. Like it's just one of those things that it'll probably, never be like a bestseller per se, but it's something that I've always wanted to write, and it's something that I hope that my sons will pick up, you know, years down the road and read and get a glimpse into kind of what God was teaching me in the Proverbs, but then even more importantly, find some wisdom and some guidance for their own life through the timeless wisdom of the Proverbs. Yeah. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, and you mentioned kind of what you've done is distilled the entire book of Proverbs into this kind of one, you know, 31 day Bible study for the book of Proverbs. What are just maybe a couple of the Proverbs or the ideas in there that have resonated with you for a long time that you knew when you were writing, like, this is one of the things that has resonated with me, helped me, that you knew, like, what are a couple of those points that, just for our listeners to grasp a hold of?
Yeah. I mean, there are the verses that, you know, almost everybody in church world knows, like, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding in all your ways, acknowledge him, he'll direct your paths. And so you've got kind of those big bumper sticker kind of Proverbs. But then I tried to really focus in on some of the ones that would get real practical about things like anger, that like a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise person kind of keeps himself under control. And as somebody who, you know, just naturally would be maybe prone to responding with anger, like all the things the Proverbs had to say about, well, yeah, it can be a natural emotion. You know, anger itself isn't even a sin. Jesus got angry, but what we do in anger can so quickly lead to sin if we're not careful. And the moment we feel it coming on, we have to immediately think, what's the wise thing to do in this situation? You know, and one who controls his temper is more powerful than a warrior who conquers a whole city, Proverbs say. And so I thought, well, I want to keep that under control, because if I can have more wisdom and influence by being able to control my anger instead of just venting it and spewing it. And especially now, and we see social media, people just spewing anger everywhere. The Proverbs, the timeless wisdom of it, 3,000 years old, has so much to say for how we should approach social media, even like when it's wise to speak, when it's wise to listen. You know, a fool just wants to air his own opinion, but a wise person, you know, wants to understand, wants to listen and understand. I mean, if we would just apply that one principle, imagine how different Twitter would look and Facebook would look.
That's so funny, because I was having a conversation just yesterday with our mutual friend, Pastor Andrew Brown, and we were just talking about that idea of, especially as it's seen on social media, this idea that so many people in our culture, but really specifically, I think within the American church and evangelicalism, just seem to have this addiction to outrage. Like there's always something we're getting offended at, and feeling like we have to jump on and in the name of truth say, like, tell people this is what it really is going on somehow. And yet, like, so what you're talking about, even Proverbs 12 somewhere, I think fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Like this idea that it's not wise, it's not necessarily even good to feel like our outrage has to be yelled and our annoyance and what we might think is truth has to be proclaimed, but the prudent overlook an insult. Like you're right, there is so much to be gained and even just how we live our lives online from maybe pausing and reading a few chapters of the book of Proverbs.
For sure.
Yeah. So So that's available. Again, that book is called Think Like Jesus. And what we'll do is we'll make sure to link to we'll link to your website and kind of where people can find all these resources. So one of the things I always like to do with guests on this podcast, since it's called Ordinary Faith, one of the things in my heart and my mind is just helping our listeners, helping our audience understand that oftentimes we experience God in ordinary ways, and it's not relegated to church pews. It's not relegated to only when we're listening to worship songs, but that we can find joy, we can find grace and truth and God and goodness really in the ordinary things of life. So I always like to ask my guests, what is good? Where are you seeing God just in really beautiful, simple, peaceful ways, whether it's something you just watched on Netflix or an experience you had with your family? But so Dave, what is good right now to you?
What's good?
Man, that's a great question, especially in such a grumpy world right now.
That's right.
See
previous part of the conversation.
Yeah. Philippians 4:8, you know, whatever is true and noble and beautiful and excellent, worthy of praise, think about these things.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I will just like pause and like cuddle up next to one of my kids, I'm just reminded, like, man, this is such a gift. Like, I mean, I can sometimes find myself just being annoyed by the daily grind of routine of like parenthood and the noise and the mess that all the kids make and everything. But, man, they are, when I remind myself, these kids, you know, are God, but besides the grace of Jesus and my bride, these kids are by far the greatest gift in my life. And when I just sit next to them and just enjoy their company, I think, man, this is beautiful. When I get outside, like there's a beautiful kind of walkway canal here in the Augusta, Georgia area. And I'll go up there alone, or I'll go up there with Ashley or with the kids and walk or run or just throw rocks into the water. And just being out there, it's just soothing to the soul. You know, I mean, being out in nature away from phones buzzing and all the busyness and chaos of life, just to slow down and listen to the birds singing and realize, like, man, this is a gift from God. And it reminds me that a lot of stress in my life is really self-imposed stress. You know, it's me going too hard, too fast, taking on things God never told me to take on. And Jesus is here saying the whole time, come to me, those who are weary and burdened. You know, my yoke's easy, my burden's light. Yeah. I want to give you rest for your souls. And we come to him like he's got a, you know, he's just trying to drive us to more, saying, you know, work, work, work. You're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. And that's not his message at all. You know, the message of the cross isn't try harder. He said, it is finished. Like, I did all the work. Like, it's already done. You just put your faith and hope and trust in me and enjoy the peace that I bring. And when I remind myself of that, as somebody who's just by nature, you know, driven and, you know, wants to be an achiever and those kind of things, but a lot of that can quickly become an idol. And when I take a step back and just say, Lord, you've already done it all. And you just call me to enjoy your presence and to walk with you. And yeah, life's still hard some days, but even on the hardest of days, there's so many reasons to be thankful. And it's the little things. I mean, it really is the simple things that I think end up meaning the most.
Man, that'll preach. It's like you've done that before, maybe. Yeah, man, I appreciate that. Even just that reminder of that presence. And I find myself just the same way with my kids, especially my youngest. He's 6 right now. Just that, especially in the evening when my day is over and I'm trying to wind down and relax and he's wanting to be present, like I have to sometimes really intentionally say, okay, all the other stuff on my mind doesn't matter. Just sit and enjoy the fact that he's crawling all over me right now. And man, what a good reminder too of the presence of God and what he does for us if we're willing to let him be present with us. So, well, Dave, thank you so much. I really appreciate you jumping on here for a little bit and just kind of sharing about your life and your heart, and not just for marriage, but for people pursuing after that grace in Jesus period. So really appreciate your time. It's been great to chat with you.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Keep up the great work.
Well, I love hearing from people like Dave who just have been pursuing God throughout their life and throughout their marriage, and just to see how he's kind of come this journey of being a young married couple, serving in pastoral ministry, and then really just this passion for marriages, which was kind of born out of that experience where they had watching two marriages crumble within a church as they saw friends and who were pastors and coworkers kind of have that failure, and that kind of that warning sign to Dave and his wife, Ashley, early on in their marriage and ministry to guardrail, to strengthen their marriage, and then how that's really shaped a life's calling where they've been able to pour that into so many other people. I'm just really grateful that a lot of great reminders in there too. I love that reminder from Dave early on in the conversation to make sure that we're just being vulnerable and being okay and authentic, that this it can be so exhausting to try and perform for other people. And it doesn't matter whether that's for our spouse. It doesn't matter whether that's for our network of people, maybe the folks just we see at church, or if we're in leadership, to try and perform and be somebody that we're not, live up to expectations that we're never really designed to live up to. That can be exhausting and crushing. And so just to see how Dave and Ashley have modeled that vulnerability, that authenticity in their life, in their marriage, and what God's been able to do through that is really, really encouraging. And of course, I also loved how Dave mentioned just that last section there about talking about what's good, the ability to be present, just to remember that God is good and he is all around us and he wants to give us his goodness even in those ordinary moments. And so just learning to be present with our family, with our friends, with the people around us, and be grateful for those moments. So please reach out to Dave, connect with him. I've included links to his website, his social profiles for he and Ashley, and you can kind of find more information about them, follow them on social medias, get to know them and their ministry a little bit. And of course, I've also linked a couple of Dave's books. The book on Proverbs that he mentioned there, Think Like Jesus, is linked to the episode notes here, as well as their book, Naked and Healthy. That's the marriage book that Dave and Ashley recently released as well. So go check out the resources they have. Check out the Naked Marriage Podcast. I'm pretty sure I've never said the word naked so much in so little time, and certainly I've never said it on a microphone, and I think I'm not even going to bother editing that out. Go check out the Naked Marriage Podcast from Dave and Ashley Willis as well, because they've got some great, great stuff for you there. As always, feel free to share this. Again, I just can't thank you enough when you are willing to not just listen in and go on this journey with me, but when things resonate and connect with you, when you find an episode that really is striking to you, share it with somebody. If Dave and his ministry that he and Ashley have, if you know people who need that kind of encouragement in their life, share this episode with them. Encourage them to connect as well. Again, thanks to the patrons. Thanks to the band Legacies for being the soundtrack to this podcast. I love you all. We'll see you next time. And until then, remember, all it takes to bring heaven to earth is ordinary faith in extraordinary grace.